curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Hey everyone, we are back with another episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast with Ron Kitchens. And this week we're going to be talking about part three of our ebook that was From Crisis to Renaissance, a leadership guidebook. And we're going to be focusing on reinvigorating your bottom line and your own leadership. So two pretty important topics right now. And Ron, we're just going to dive right in. I'd love to hear how you're doing, and especially how you're doing about talking about things like your bottom line. I know finances aren't always the most fun topic of conversation, but certainly very important. So how are you feeling about it all?
So I am awesome, even though it looks really nasty out, like we're about to get hammered by a storm. I'm still awesome because we've been hammered by storms for the last 4 months. But, you know, I'm particularly awesome because I had a mentoring meeting with a member of our team, and we were talking about our weekend, and she has a really precious, you know, cute daughter who's blondish with curls and very girly. And they spent Saturday, there was a pond behind their house that's drying up, and they had to rescue the polywogs, the tadpoles that were starting to grow the legs on them. And I thought that is the perfect analogy for where we are right now. Our pond feels like it's drying up. We're trying to change and adapt, but we need a little help from each other to make it. And, you know, Max Dupree, who was the CEO, chairman of Herman Miller for years, and this kind of amazing father of modern design, you know, Max said something, and I'll get it slightly wrong, that in the end, it's important to remember that we cannot become what we need to be by remaining who we were. And none of us were created to be tadpoles. We were created to be frogs. We weren't created to be caterpillars. We were created to be butterflies. But the caterpillar doesn't know when it looks in the mirror that it's going to be a butterfly. It's a scary time to go into this dark place, this chrysalis experience that we hope we have what it takes to break out and use our wings. And so, you know, Gretchen sharing me this tadpole story really has made my day thinking about them and how that's an analogy for where we are. And so changing our bottom line is hard. You know, whether you're, you know, customer-based, donation-based, member-based, parishioner or attendee-based, everything, you know, went crazy. Or if you're in the food manufacturing built business, everything went crazy. So there's nobody who wasn't affected and didn't have to pay attention to that. But understanding rules and being able to communicate them, I think, has been key. And, you know, we saw, you know, the old analogy of cash is king become more and more important. And I, you know, I've mentored calls with probably 25 now, either church leaders or economic development leaders, chamber of commerce leaders, who are going to go out of business. They just don't have the money. They can't get people back in time. They're not relevant enough. They were in decline already or flat, and they're just not going to make it. And that's really, really hard. And it didn't matter how much money they saved. They just were buggy whip manufacturer in a Model T world. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're the best buggy whip manufacturer in the country. In a Model T world, your business when it was gone. And so we've seen that. So we've got to remember that, you know, we've got to, if we are going to make it, we've got to be generous in our belief that the world is conspiring to see us succeed and make decisions based on that belief. meaning that if we have to trim expenses, that won't be the death knell of us. You know, I have hosted a monthly breakfast. We've gone back, I think it's 21 years that I've hosted this monthly breakfast called First Leaders. And when, you know, you can't do monthly breakfast in person right now. And, you know, we believed it was in person and the quality of the food mattered and quality of the room mattered and all these things that I'm sure mattered. But in this time of crisis, we went from probably averaging 40 to, for weeks and weeks and weeks, we were well over 120 people on Zoom calls that were essentially the same audience talking about the same issues, but the value proposition changed. So if we believed our only value is, well, if we cut meals, nobody's going to come, so don't bother to do the event, we would have lost. So you got to make smart decisions around the money that you're spending. But then you've got to be, I think in our case, and the case in the organizations I've seen thrive, they've gone to their team and said, okay, here's what we need to do. Here's our goal. Where are the 3 to 5 things that we cannot spend money on? Not that they were wrong, not that they were a bad idea, but right now we can pull back on that. And attending conferences for us was one of those, because guess what? We can't actually go to any conferences, so we can reallocate those dollars, you know, or those dollars just won't be spent because the dollars won't come in to do that. But every organization has those things. But as a point leader, you may not know them. So don't try to be omnipotent, cutting from above. Ask everyone on the team to bring things forward. Now, they may not get everything that they suggest. And in some cases, we had people suggest things that, one, we would never do, and two, actually hurt them. So they were putting forward things that they knew would be painful for themselves. But it was this idea that everyone is in the process and has ownership that I think is really critical when you're managing in a short term, and I think this is a short term, decline that everyone is cash poor. So it's just critical that you do it.
Absolutely. And I really think I agree with you. And I think it's so important that you include your team in this one so that they understand that you're trying to make the best decisions that you can on behalf of the company. And also because your team sees things that you don't as a leader. They see some of the expenses in a different way than you do. And we're all different people and all, you know, appreciate and, you know, care about different things. And some of the things that we think the team really cares about, that wasn't a priority for them. And they would have felt better about letting go of something, you know, option A versus option B. And so hearing that from the team is really helpful. I also think for leaders, it's really important to have different scenarios in mind. So, you know, it's one thing to go through the budget based on the scenario that you predict, you know, the moment you feel like you need to. But it's another thing to have to do that again in another month. And in this most recent situation, I know most businesses were updating their assumptions often. But I think for most companies, like running it, you know, a different scenario, whether that's a, you know, doing a 15% reduction in cost, if we need to save 15%, this is what we're going to do. If we need 30, if we need 50, just so that when you hit those moments, you're not re-going back through all of the work that you've done previously. You're kind of doing it at once and then reflecting and making changes on that work as, you know, different circumstances come into play. And I know for us, we've had to, you know, things have changed. Like our initial draft of assumptions is very different than today than it was 3 months ago and even 2 months ago. Like I feel like it's really even different than it was last week. Let's be honest.
Yep. And it should be. It should be because and good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some areas that we made doomsday assumptions on, and technologies allowed us to do things differently, to serve differently, to find different areas. There's others where, as we talked in a previous podcast, if not us, who, where we found opportunities to serve that weren't there before. But then there's some that we could never imagine that, you know, in our case, in restaurants in Michigan would be closed for 4 months. And it changed what our perception was of, you know, we operate along with economic development and leadership, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, and it really affects those small business members that we have and our ability to interact with them in meaningful ways. So I had a group the other day that wanted to hire us to do a 5-year strategic plan for them. And I just laughed and said, we're not the right group to hire. I'll do a 1-year plan for you with a 50% discount to come back after a year, and we'll do a 2-year plan. But anyone who thinks they can see 5 years from now is either a fool or needs to be running for president, because I don't know anybody else that who has got that clarity of vision.
Exactly. I mean, it's hard to begin to even think. And I know it's important as leaders to think out the next 12 to 18 months, knowing it's all fluid and going to change. But from a financial perspective, at least thinking about, like, what are our opportunities? Like, we have to move from crisis to renaissance. And that means we have to be not only looking at what we have now, but we have to look at what we need in the future to sustain some of the efforts that now our community or our, as you said, like our attendees or parishioners need or our customers need. But we also have to figure out how to make up for gaps in funding and revenue that maybe has gone away because the service model completely flipped. And so we have to, as leaders, find a way to deal with the crisis of this year, but then to begin to look on into 2021 and say, I don't have all the answers, but I know in order to serve the people that we need to serve, we're going to need X amount of dollars. And how do we as a company get there or as an organization get there? And at least have some initial plans in place of knowing what it will take so that you can begin to build out what you need. So we talked about reinvigorating your bottom line, which is so important. But one of the areas that I think in all of this, as we were putting together the guidebook, we went back and forth on, because it's really tempting for leaders to skip over the need to reinvest in themselves. It's, you know, when you're in crisis, you think about, like, how do I manage my funding? How do I make sure everybody else is okay? How do I check in with my stakeholders? How do I refresh my brand? All the things that we've talked about. But what leaders often do is skip over taking care of themselves. And you've often said, you know, self-care is not selfish, but it feels selfish sometimes during times of crisis because there's all of these other people and all of these other needs and concerns. And if there's one section in this guidebook that I really hope leaders take time to think about and reflect on, it's this section. Because if you aren't doing this for yourself, then you're probably not leading people the way that you have potential to.
For us, this idea of taking care of yourself is critical. If you don't, then it's just like your car when you run out of gas. But, you know, we all kind of know, okay, I ran out of gas, I'll put 5 gallons in. You get by that. It's annoying, but you can get past it. Just like if you don't get enough sleep or you're not really eating the right food. But if you ignore your oil change, you blow up on the side of the road and you can't fix that. You have to replace it. And sometimes you can't replace it. The engine isn't available or it's too cost prohibitive. And so, you know, our bodies are the same way. So we've got to make sure we're taking care of ourselves, you know, acts of recovery. Although, you know, you and Kim were at my house, you know, not long ago. We sat on the back porch. Yes, we were socially distanced, but we needed to work from some things. And Kelsey, my daughter, said, wow, one of you got really big and the other two are pregnant. So, you know. I may not have been exercising and taking as good a care of myself as I imagine, but, you know, we've all done that. But the one thing I've done well in all this is slept. And I've forced myself that I'm going to, you know, get an appropriate amount of sleep is the thing that I can do for myself. But it's also the mental
health part of it, is reading and engaging. And, you know, as I mentioned on previous podcasts, taking the social media stuff and all the news feeds off my phone and making sure that we're filling ourselves with positive energy. You know, it's been said a lot of ways, but, you know, who you are is a reflection of the people you talk to, the books you read, and the media you consume. So, you know, it's clear that, you know, young men are more violent after watching the NFL than they are after watching Little Women. You know, we don't have to go through, you know, college level experiences just to watch, you know, 7-year-olds and how media or games change their attitude. Well, we're all human and susceptible to that. So we've got to make sure that we're very intentional about those things and that we're reacting to the future, not constantly looking at re-prosecuting the past. We can't do anything about it. What are we going to do in the future to change what's there? We also need to make sure in these times, and a lot of leaders will be like me, you know, the analogy is the wake of a boat. So a wake represents two things. One, I'm going to leave somebody in my wake. We've all heard that. Well, that's because I'm going to run over them and I'm going to crush their boat and you're going to see their garbage floating behind my boat. Or a wake can be what everybody else surfs in. A wake can be where you're flattening the water so others can follow you. You know, it's the reason, you know, bicyclists, you know, competitive bicyclists ride in this peloton is because they're slipstreaming off of each other and you have to take your turn at the front. So everybody else, you know, we all learned that as kids with geese. So wake is that same thing. So as leaders, you got to constantly be looking at your wake. And sometimes in these crises, we get busy and it's, what do you mean you don't know what we're doing? We're going to go fast. We have to make decisions fast. It's really important. We're trying to save things. And if you're running over people doing that, eventually you're going to bend your prop and your boat isn't going anywhere either. But you also lose anybody that could surf in you. So what we want to do is create surfable and then flat water that everybody can come along with this in. And that's about taking care of you. That's about your mental attitude in how you're leading. And then it's this idea that, you know, it's cliche, but teamwork makes the dream work. And it's about what, and those of us who are trained in old school leadership of Newt Rockne, you'll either be fired with enthusiasm or you will be fired with enthusiasm. Actually, I don't think that was Newt Rockne. I think it was Lombardi. But all right, it was a football coach who said that. That isn't how it works anymore. And in these times of crisis, it is much more, you know, the model of football coach is our friend PJ Fleck, who's the head coach at Minnesota today, and it's row the boat. And that's where your back is in the future. You don't know what the future is going to bring you. You can't see it. But what you can do is trust in it and trust in your team to keep rowing. You put your back into it. You keep rowing in the future. You row the boat towards the future. And if you all do that well, you end up so far past where the competition is that not only can they not see the future, they can't see you anymore. That's what great leadership looks like in these trying times.
Yeah. And I love that analogy of, you know, what are you leaving in your wake? And it's really easy for leaders to give all of their energy away during the day, especially, you know, in times of crisis. But what happens, and you've seen it over and over again during the most recent turn of events with all the social and racial unrest in our country, you've seen leaders that probably were at the point of burnout due to COVID, and then their response and how they show up in a way at a time when something else that's very traumatic for people in our country happens, and your presence is just not there, or it's there and it's just not good. And so, you know, really making sure that you're taking care of your own energy is so important because how you show up sets the tone for everybody, and it sets that wake path for everybody in your organization. And again, why does that matter? It not only matters for your own health and your own mental health, but it also matters for everything we've already talked about in the guidebook about building and maintaining trusting teams. And trust is one of those things that a domino falls and you start to see, you know, a whole bunch start falling, and you're just hoping that it stops like soon. And so just making sure that you're really mindful about your energy during this time and have those trusted people around you. You're going to have off days. You're going to have days where you feel tired and where you feel overwhelmed and where you're faced with a decision that you know you need to make, but you don't know the answer and you need a little bit of time, and that's frustrating to you. And having those people around you that can help build you up, that can help give you insights into how you might be showing up at times is so important. And it's hard. It's hard to be vulnerable enough where you can, as a leader, say, I need you to tell me a little bit about myself right now and how I'm showing up, because I want to do the best for everybody else. And so that means like I need really good self-reflection, and I need really good people to help me get to that point of self-reflection, because we don't always know. We don't always go home at night and think, how did I do today? We want to believe we're doing that, but you don't know how you come across to other people until sometimes you ask and are vulnerable enough to listen. And that's what great leadership is going to require right now, is the ability to manage your energy, manage your influence, and really listen to the people around you so that you can continue to grow. This is going to be a time where we see leaders flourish in a way that I don't think we've ever seen before, because people are going to step out and be honored for the fact that they truly listened and did that self-reflection and did what truly was best for their companies and their people. And we're going to see other people who just flounder during this time because they don't have that trust. They aren't willing to be vulnerable, don't have that humility that it takes to say, gosh, I don't know what I'm doing right now. Like, this is an uncharted moment, and they try to do it alone. And so don't be one of those people that feels like you need to do it alone, that when you're tired, you don't feel like you have anybody that you can talk to. You know, reach out to other people and make sure that you're focusing on your own energy and really being intentional about how you show up every day for the job that you're called to do, paid to do, and in service to do.
Can't say anything better than that. And with that, thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.